What's up? How you guys doing? This is Penthouse Fire Podcast with myself, John, and Dave.
Yep.
Keys player.
How's it going?
Yeah, we're good, man. If you're on YouTube watching, what's up? If you're listening on the podcast, what's up? Yeah, today's episode, first we're going to talk about
the debate between whether you should book music for your wedding, like whether you should book it for your own personal taste or for your guest's taste. Mm. It's something that I've got kind of strong views about and you disagree with, so I think that's going to be an interesting debate.
Yeah, I think we've got opinions on this. So yeah, when you book your band, are you booking for yourself or should you book for your clients, your guests who are coming
your
to your
friends and family?
Yeah, yeah. So you go first then. What's your take on this?
Are we going straight in?
I think so.
Yeah. No, how you been? What you been?
By the way. Rewind a second. This is episode 7.
This is seven.
Wow,
man. We're wrapping up. Yeah.
Anyway. Cool.
There we go.
Episode 7.
Palace 5.
So, what's your take on you book a band for your wedding? Are you choosing the band and their music and everything that comes with the band? Are you choosing it on your own opinion and obviously your partner's?
Mm.
Or are you choosing it more for your guests to enjoy?
I don't think there isn't a black and white answer.
There's no right or wrong.
I think obviously part of answering that question depends on the kind of wedding you have in terms of, are you bringing, like, have you got loads of family and it's going to be 150, 200 people? Or are you doing a really small intimate affair where it's maybe only like 20, 30 and it might be like kind of an out of the way location? Maybe.
I guess that affects the band as well that you book, right?
Yeah,
If you're booking a band,
it's probably going to be a big group.
150 people, 100 people, yeah. 70 people, something like that. 20, yeah. 30 people, maybe some live music, maybe just a DJ or something like that, or just a smaller group of musicians, like 3 or 4 maybe.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't know if it's as much my opinion on booking bands as it is just my opinion on weddings in general. Just because I feel very strongly that it's your wedding. It's the most important day of your life, and I think too many people focus too much on what others would want or what they would prefer, and not, you know, what you want. What do you want? This is your day. You're getting married. You're the bride and groom. Everyone's here for you. They're all here to see you.
To support you in that.
One of the most important moments in your life. Hopefully the most important moment if you don't get divorced.
Mm.
Fingers crossed, guys.
It's on the next one.
Yeah. Round two. So, obviously, again, it's not, you can't just be 100% I'm doing what I want, fuck you guys. Like, you know, you're bringing your friends and family. There has to be some sort of consideration. But I feel that you should put yourself first and then factor in other people.
Yeah, I mean,
That's me personally.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to other things in the wedding, what do most people do? Obviously, we have a couple of friends that get married later this year, and they're both vegans, right? So the food is vegan. Right,
100% vegan. Yeah,
and
we're not talking like Greg's sausage, vegan sausage rolls.
This is 100% decent food, that they've chosen. But you know, so if you're looking at food, for example, on that point, it's 100% their choice. Like, it's what they favour, right?
Mm.
It's not, oh, we have like some vegans, some people like fish, some people like, you know, other people like meat and stuff, and then we're selecting for everyone. It's like, this is our wedding. It's this, and you come no matter what you eat. And that's what you get, sort of thing. So,
I mean, there's like a slight moral kind of issue
with that, totally.
But I get your point.
So, yeah, I mean, I think maybe if we're going to 100 and 70, 100 or more people at your wedding, I think, and again, this is just my opinion, the band and the music, the live music, if you're picking a live band, should be. Like, yeah, of course you want music, you want like your first dance, obviously it's like your choice, that's what you dance to and stuff. And some couples, like, you know, the bride wants to dance with her father as well, so whatever. But when it gets into the majority of the music, I think it should be picked on, I think, what your guests are going to enjoy as well, because from some of our experience when we've played at these weddings, it's the bride and groom are so busy some like a lot of the time.
That's a
they're
very
not
point.
Even in the room.
Yeah.
For most of the
that is, that
time,
is a really
right?
point, actually.
So they're there for the start, first dance, cut the cake, first dance, whatever, and then they're for a few songs, and then after that, like, normally everyone else is there, but they have so much to do still in the evening, like. Yeah. Not 9 times out of 10, you know, like they go meet some other people that they haven't spent time with in the daytime sort of thing. You know, they're sort of still running about almost or but enjoying themselves obviously, but you know.
I would counter that
yeah.
and say if you're booking us specifically, Penthouse 5.
Penthouse 5 band at
Penthouse 5 band on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you know. But if you're booking us, you know, obviously we can play a lot of loads of different styles and genres, but we've got our kind of niche is that, you know, we go for that 90s, kind of early 2000s kind of vibe.
Throwback.
Bit of a throwback.
Nostalgia.
Kind of, yeah, a bit of like, you know, a bit of neo-soul and R&B and kind of a little bit of dance and garage and that kind of thing. You know, if you're booking for your guests, you're bringing, you know, mum and dad and aunties and uncles, and they're not going to listen to Mark Morrison and Dr. Dre and stuff like that. So, but
yeah.
we, you know... So when people book us, it's the it's their favourite music.
I get that you
book that band on the assumption that. That you know they're going to have a particular sound which is my favourite as the client.
Yeah.
But then you there's the assumption with a good function.
You know what
about
my best mate, he when I went to his wedding, he had a DJ, and I think how he worked it, and this is the same with the band as well. You can. Because the way we deal with it with clients and stuff, yeah, we have our style and our sound and stuff, but there's nothing wrong with like if they want songs like
absolutely they can pick and choose
artists,
and take things out.
So I think what he did was he had a DJ, and in the evening before obviously the wedding and stuff, they spoke beforehand obviously, but it was like they told him sort of like what style of music they like, and then it's up to the DJ at that point to like filter that stuff in, as well as playing from the experience he has of many, many years of playing at weddings, like hundreds of weddings a year, from his experience, what goes down well, right? So it's like, I have all this experience, and this is the music that I know works time and time again, and probably sees different crowds and stuff, like what we do as well. You know, we see different age of clients and people at these weddings, so we know what goes down well like 90% of the time, so we know what will work, but then you filter in a little bit, or like, you know, just under half maybe of what the client likes and tastes and stuff, you know, so it's a rough mix, you know.
Yeah,
because if you play everything they wanted,
yeah,
there's a, like
you're going to ostracize some other
so many people probably.
I don't know if it should be weighted 50-50 though. I mean,
no, I mean, I think
what other people would like should be a factor, but it shouldn't be as big as.
You don't think 50-50 on their side, on the
not in my opinion. I mean, I suppose the only one example I would put to your point, to what you're saying, is if you go too far, like just what I want and not other people. My mum and dad went
extreme.
My mum and dad went to a wedding. And the people getting married were probably mid-30s, and as part of the live music, it was an act where it was a saxophone player and a guy on like bongos percussion, and then they played the track, and it was like a proper garage set.
So you enjoyed it, or you would have?
Well,
enjoyed
I wasn't. It was just my mum and dad, but
you
they were saying my mum and dad were like, you know, the music was rubbish. It was you know the. Because the bride and the groom and all of their friends that they brought absolutely loved it. It was like the best thing ever. They were going mental. But then
I can imagine
you'd
like it.
Oh yeah.
You know?
And but you know, some of the mums and dads were like, "This isn't for me. It's not really my vibe." So they weren't really joining in. So it's like I understand why mum and dad were like, "Oh, I didn't like that music." It's like so it's not your cup of tea, then that's fine. But you know, it's. You know, they enjoyed, you know, the night of their wedding with their closest friends that they, you know, grew up and known for years and years and years. Should you be...
You're almost ostracising everyone else, like the older generation, right? That party. But by having that selective music.
So would it have been better... Would it have been better... And this isn't a right or wrong, I'm just asking you, but would it have been better if they had a function band that just did... Brian.
Yeah, they should have hired PS5.
Well, obviously, yeah. Rookie era. But like, you know, what if they'd have hired in a band where all the mums and dads and aunts and uncles were loving it, and all of their closest friends were like, man off me.
I think the answer to that is it depends on how, what's the larger percentage of the people that you're bringing to that wedding. So if you're bringing mostly aunties, uncles, grandparents, like, and then everyone else, if most of your people that come into your wedding are older generation, and you only have a few young people there, or people your age maybe,
still hire Penthouse 5.
Yeah, still hire us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know what I mean? Like, maybe that's the question really to decide.
That's how you go ahead.
Because like we played a wedding in France, and the couple, obviously their favourite music was most of our repertoire, right? Yeah. That style.
Mm.
But then we got there, everyone was pretty much that age, you know? It was like, it was either 20, 30, 40, and even the older people were there, like, enjoyed it as well, but they were the minority of people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the range of people there were like 20, 30, 40.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So I think it probably comes down to that, really.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
What's the big percentage of the people that are going to be there?
Hmm.
You know, younger people, middle age, or older? You know, and then I think you have to choose, I guess, on that, maybe.
I don't know, I mean, okay, let's say you're getting married.
Yeah.
100 people coming to your wedding.
Yeah.
Let's say it's a 50-50 split of friends, your mates, your age, and then your family and relatives.
Mm.
Like,
definitely.
So, you know, are you hiring? Would you have live music?
I have Penthouse 5. You'd have me working
on your wedding day. Oh,
for
man.
Sure.
I thought you were my friend.
I'll pay you nothing. Nah. Okay, so my wedding, 50-50, young and old. I've seen this a lot of times, and this is something we've got coming up this year as well, where it's kind of 50-50 almost. And I've been told ahead of time, right, as the person that speaks to the clients, right? And how they work it is they want certain kinds of styles of music early in the night. So set one. Yeah. And as it goes on, the older people are leaving and the younger people stay around, and then it gets a bit more into their sort of style.
Okay.
So that's another way to work it, you know? And that's probably the way, it all depends on, I think, who's coming to your wedding. And the type of person you are as well, you know, like, what's your style, what's your taste and style of music? Is it garage and hip hop? And
well,
like,
that's the thing, there's certain like genres niche that are more marginalised a bit more than others. Yeah. But I mean,
but it's not that you can't have that in it.
No, but I think if you're hiring a band, like a 4 or 5 piece or more, if you want brass section or whatever, I think if the band's good enough, even if it is a bit of a niche genre that they're doing, if the band's good enough and entertaining enough, then
it won't
be an issue.
Yeah,
so that's kind of, that feeds into my point.
Yeah,
like, I would pick the music that I want, and I would pick. Obviously, I'd want a good band. I mean, I'm music myself, so I'd be quite picky with the band.
Yeah,
and I would expect the band to have the experience and the skills to be able to drag up people of all ages, even if the music is a bit more particular.
Entertainment is entertainment at the end of the day, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's good is good.
Mm.
Like, that's as simple as it gets.
Yeah, like, with the example with the sax and the percussion, like, that was very, like, it's like hard garage music, so that, it's like, it's good, you're fighting a losing battle to drag like an older generation up to it. So maybe that's like
an exception,
a bit more of a hardcore kind of circumstance. But if you're playing, if it's a live band, you know, if you're talking about, you know, drums, guitars, singers, sax, keys, whatever you want, lots of keys are the best. You know, I would expect them to be good enough to drag any people up, so that's why I wouldn't worry too much about the music I'd be picking. I'd be picking it, this is the kind of music I want, and I know that they should be good enough to bring everyone up.
That's a fair point, man. Fair point. I think it just comes down to a lot of different things.
There's lots of factors.
Of variables. What's your style of music? And of course, if you're the bride and groom, you want that music included, right? And then
it's the amount of people.
This is what I was going to say. So it comes down to, as well, another point would be Oh, it just slipped out of my head. Rewind. Nah, it's all fresh, man. It's all live.
That's it.
No, what was I going to say? Oh, I can't remember what I was saying now. You carry on.
No idea.
Yeah.
Should we move on for now and then come back?
Yeah, we can come back to it. We've got
some other things to talk about.
So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much that, right? Like, just to summarise that anyway, it comes down to, you know, what your tastes of music are, who else you're inviting to the wedding as well. That's it. Got it back.
He's caught it.
So, it's also, when it comes to weddings, the way, I mean, I guess a lot of this stuff, all your decisions on your wedding, I don't know personally, but I would imagine, right, from the flowers to the food to the venue to who you invite, right, to everything, what you dress like and all that, like, at the end of the day, don't most people want all their friends and families to come away from that and be like, that was a good wedding, that was an amazing day? Like, I came away from my best man's wedding, my best mate's wedding, saying to her, mate, like, that was an incredible day. Like, that was an incredible experience. Like, obviously, for me, I was, like, real close to him because I was the best man. So the experience for me was, like, amazing, you know, to be there with him and experience it and be there for him. But everyone else was like, you know, that was great. That was good. Oh, you remember that? Like, the speech, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. That's kind of the thing you take into account as well, right? Like, being a bride and groom, like, you want everyone there to enjoy it, right? So that comes into it as well as your own opinion of my music tastes, like, and all the rest of it, and what do we want there. You kind of want everyone else to enjoy it as well. You don't want to have the end of the night, which is like the fireworks at the end of the day, right? It's like the wedding day should be climax. It should be like getting like excited, and it's like and then right at the end, that reception is like bam, like,
celebration,
you know, but you don't want to have music that is all about you and everyone else is now like, oof, just like deflated, like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there is a compromise there. I just think you shouldn't spend the whole day trying to please everyone else.
No, it is your day. I think at the end of the day it's a balance.
Yeah.
It's a balance of everything we just discussed. Like,
yeah, it is.
For yourself and for your guests at the end of the day. Anyway, moving on. Topic number two in this episode. What we're going to talk about?
So look. Notes.
How do you hire a band you've not seen live?
So how can you trust them, basically?
Yeah,
know who they are.
Yeah, so you're looking for a band for your wedding, and you've not seen them live, but you found them on the internet. Yeah.
And it is a common issue, because a lot of bands that focus on weddings and events, they're not playing at public venues. It's all private gigs, so it's very difficult to see them perform. So it's quite a good topic, because it's an issue that I can imagine loads of people.
Yeah,
it's a quite a common problem. Like, you know,
not just bands, probably DJs as well, and maybe entertainment acts and stuff.
You know,
I don't know what else you want at your wedding.
A lot of the top bands or bands where you put a lot of money into it, you know, you might have a very glossy, high production video, but you know, is that papering over the cracks? Like, how can you tell if they're really good or not?
Yeah.
And
I mean, we haven't discussed this obviously prior, but my first thought is reviews are a good place to start. So
it's for anything in the world nowadays. That's kind of how everything's judged, isn't it?
I mean, like, you buy stuff on Amazon, I look at the reviews, and it's got to have, and the more reviews it's got, I mean, obviously the better, and the more stars it's got, and then,
you know, even if it's 5 stars, if it's just 3 people, you're like, that's probably like the mates of the guys. You know?
Yeah.
If it's got 1,000 reviews and it's like 4.5 stars, then you know it's going to be
good. Exactly, which reminds me, if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening onto the podcast platforms. If you listen on Apple or Spotify or wherever, please leave a review of this podcast. If you've listened this far, if you watch the episodes, you know, we love doing this, and it's always good fun, and we want to hear from you, and obviously the ratings and stuff, that will help us anyway. But anyway, carry on. The reviews.
Reviews are massive. I think that's for anything nowadays. You know, the more reviews there are, and obviously the more positive reviews within that. You don't want 1,000 2-star reviews, but that's a kind of the primary example of how to judge a band. What I would say also, if you're looking at videos, kind of keeping an eye on, you know, how close to the video is it to real life? Like, are they properly pretending and they're not playing a thing, or are they actually doing it? Is it a live video? Like, me personally, the glitz and the glam videos and the high production is great to show off that, you know, you're professional and it's a very professional, high class service.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would book a band without there being some sort of live videos. And I'm much less, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, 4K, you know,
beautiful sound.
Yeah, I just want to see what they actually do live, what they look like, what kind of energy they have on stage. So as well as the, you know, the fancy showreel is important, and it is important because it sets you apart from the average.
I think the thing with the showreel, and it's a good point what you bring up, but I think the thing with the showreel is that if, however good that is, shows the effort the band is putting in to something that they believe in, right?
That's a very good point.
So if you find a band with a pristine showreel, like, yeah, you have to do your digging, like, as well as that, but
they're not
like,
half-assed.
The amount of money that costs and time and effort that goes in, it's like, it's so much.
Yeah.
So much. And these bands probably been saving and saving to spend on this stuff because it's constantly, it has to be updated, right? Like, every year or like, you
yeah,
know,
every year, 18 months max, you know? you need to prioritize
you need the new music or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's what I would say. From if you're going to watch professional footage or their video clips and stuff, the better that is, I would say, the more invested they are in what they do.
Yeah, and that would suggest the quality. Like, you're not going to invest all that time and money if you weren't great.
But also then go around, and there should be live footage as well. Of even if, and obviously live footage, it comes down to, like, it's probably a little bit less of that high quality because, you know, not time and money has been spent into that. It's a camera, a gig probably, or something like that.
Yeah.
But you have to take it into account. You're looking at that video for the purpose of what's the crowd like and what are they like live performing, how the interaction is between the crowd and the act, right?
Yeah, I think I'm just speaking with my musician's hat on. I think there is the glitz and the glamour, but it's like, I want to see what you're like in real life, kind of thing. So I completely, you know, that's an amazing point that you made, and it's extremely valid. I was just looking at it personally. I'd want to see a little, and again, even if it's just a little Instagram video, 30 seconds long, I just want to see what you're like in real life. That's me personally. What else do you think?
Reviews, the pro footage, and also trying to find some live footage that might be a bit grainy or whatever, but it's about a different thing. What else do we have? Maybe recommendations as well. If someone's recommending you a band, that's another good thing, I guess. Like, because word of mouth is pretty much what this industry is built on, really. There's now social media that's in the game, and advertising online and stuff that we do and stuff as well. But that's just like another piece of the pie. But I would say a big chunk of that is that word of mouth. That you know, and if it's someone you trust as well, obviously, like you know, that's an important thing as well. If you tell me it's a good band, I'm going to trust you because, like, I believe the stuff you say about certain things, like music and that. If someone else tells me something, I might not believe them. Do you know what I mean? Like, anyway, that kind of thing.
I think another thing that it is worth it is it's more and more pertinent nowadays than it has ever been before. Is I think if there is a social media presence, or then, you know, that's the best way to see what they've been doing recently. If they've got an Instagram page with like two pictures over the last 2 years, then it's like, okay, well, what have they been doing? How many gigs have they done? Are they legit? Whereas if you go on, for example, the @PentlessFiveBand Instagram page, you know that we're busy and we're putting the work in and we're doing regular gigs. We're producing videos all the time. It's another, it's like the fancy show rule, it's the time and the effort that we're putting in. And it's another way to display, you know, these guys are serious about their craft and they're busy and they're working and they're producing lots of content. So, you know, nowadays that's another way to kind of show how serious people are about stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Really good point. So what else? How do you trust that band?
I think that other than that, once you've chosen them, once you've looked at the videos, I really like that.
That's all you can choose, right? That's like, without seeing them in person, that's all you can go on. It's like the reviews of previous clients, the footage, whether it be pro or like, you know, kind of just a camera, a gig for the live sort of stuff. and social media side of stuff.
Online. But yeah. Once you've made that decision, I think then it's about the communication with
for
the
sure. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a big thing as well. Yeah. Because if you're speaking to someone who's really clear and friendly and is willing to answer any questions and is giving you helpful tips and is trying to be as helpful as possible to make your, you know, as the client, your job is easy, you don't have anything to worry about, that's going to go a long way as well.
Yeah. Let's do something right now. If anyone's watching this video, if you are like looking for a wedding band, if you have watched this far, let's just chuck in some things at the end, because another thing you could do at this point, if you're this far into choosing your band, what you could do is call the band member, yeah. the band leader, whoever it is, give them a phone call and, like you say, speak to them. And maybe we could give them a few questions to ask, and depending on some answers, do you know what I mean? Like, if someone's like, oh, I'll get back to you, or, then, you know, we'll give you some tips, right? So, what kind of questions would you ask? You phone up.
I suppose you're the guy in charge of all the emails and the contacts for us. I mean, what are the common questions that you get asked?
I mean, the first question is like, is your band available for this date and this time? What was after that? It's questions about how things work, like what we offer. So one would be like, we offer a laptop DJ service, right? So we play the live sets with the band, and then we also offer in between our sets, before and after, this laptop DJ service, so we're playing music continuously. And then people just ask me how that works, like, do we give you music beforehand that we ask you to play, or does someone stay there, do you like take requests and stuff like that, stuff like that. So and then it can be things like maybe like, what equipment do we provide, so like the sound equipment, the lighting equipment, or the musical equipment. What else is there? A good one would be, a good question to ask a band would be, do you have a PLI certificate? A PLI certificate, so that's public liability insurance. And that's, every band has to have that. If you perform at a wedding, you have to have it, because it insures you for sort of any mishaps that might happen with equipment and obviously people there and stuff. So that's a good one to ask for. Obviously you can just ask for that, and they should, like, you know, there's not any questions about it, they should send it to you. And then you can just check the date on it, make sure it's in date or something like that.
I suppose, if you ask that question, they're like, then that's a bad time.
Yeah, there's also a PAT certificate as well, PAT certificate. That's just testing the equipment.
For the electrical equipment.
Like, you know, the band's going to go to a venue, they may have been to it, but more than likely have never been to before, and they're plugging that equipment into the sockets of this venue, and you don't want it to explode, right? So, like, that's the point in having that certificate as well.
Yeah.
And that's something you've got to get done annually as well. So that's another thing. You could ask for the PLI certificate, the PAT certificate. You could, I don't know, ask them what they provide as well in service-wise.
As well as the questions, it's the kind of feedback you get. You know, how long do they take to respond? Are they giving you like a quick one sentence answer, or they're being friendly and thorough, and you know, the more information they're providing, the more helpful that's going to be. If you are asking,
point, it's also, they should be asking you questions. So you're the client, right, and I'm the band, and you want to book me, like, you want to book my band, like, there's questions I need to ask you as well, right? So I need to ask you,
you're the expert.
You more than likely don't really know all this, because you've never been married before, you've never played the band, or maybe. So you, there's things I would need to ask you, so that's another sign, right? You need to make sure that this band is asking you questions. Do you have a wedding planner, things like that, like, do you have contact for the venue and stuff?
Are there sound restrictions,
sound limits and stuff? That's the kind of thing you need to look out for anyway. You know, that's that when dealing with we're going to have to wrap it up. But anyway, thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, thank you for listening. If you're on the podcast, please just drop us a review. Or if you're not reviewing on the podcast, make sure you drop a comment in the comment section on YouTube or Facebook or wherever we're posting this, Instagram, and give us a follow, and let us know your thoughts and what else you want us to talk about. This is Penthouse 5. Peace.
See ya.
But for you on the podcast.
Oh, too hot for TV.
Oh, damn. It's the
please do not say fuck or bugger.
For fuck's sake, Dave.
There we go.
But where were we talking about? They're just
that
a few,
you should be asking.
Yeah, they're just a few things that I think you can go into on detail anyway.
I mean, if you're still listening to this and you know you're getting married yourself, or you've got an event and you're
you know someone that's getting
them.
Married.
Yeah.
You know someone, a friend, family member, cousin, someone's getting married.
Yeah, and if you want some advice, send us a message on on YouTube or Instagram or any of our social media, feel free to ask us for advice,
even if it's not on our band, we will give you any advice we can give you.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. I mean, you have to like us and buy our t-shirts.
Yeah, and you have to follow us. Right.
No, but that's part of the reason that we're doing this podcast is to help musicians that are wanting to do this, and also helping people that are wanting to book these kind of bands and they've just never done it before. You don't know where to start. There's lots of questions. Like, I don't know music. I don't know how these things work. That's part of the reason we're doing it. So if you've got more questions that we haven't addressed, if you've been kind of struggling with a band that you've been dealing with, then hit us up and give us a message.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know.
Nice. Oh, I think, do you want to end it there?
Well, do you want to add another topic or leave it for another day?
We'll go to episode 8 for that.
Ooh.
But if you are still listening to that one person, we are going to do a bit of a special podcast for episode 8, aren't we? So make sure you tune into that one.
Oh, you're leaving it mysterious.
So make sure you tune into episode 8. Thank you for listening. We appreciate anyone that's listened this far, 30 minutes in. Appreciate it a lot. And until next time, peace.
That's it. All the best. Good luck.
Bye.